I'm Tomasz Tarczyński. I work at Gigaset and I want to talk today about configuration management landscape for Kubernetes. So the plan for this talk is like this. We'll start with introducing configuration management as a topic. Then we'll jump into Kubernetes and see what it changes for us. Then a very brief introduction to a declarative approach to application management. And the last part will be the tools landscape itself. So there is this quote: of all the problems we have confronted, the ones over which the most brain power, ink and code have been spilled are related to managing configurations. This quote is from the great paper titled Borg, Omega and Kubernetes. So it's written by engineers at Google and they summarized their 2 decades of experience managing complex distributed systems and building cluster orchestrators. So they perceive the configuration management as a very difficult problem, something that they've tried few dozens of different tools, different solutions already, and they still don't consider this to be a solved problem. So something that still needs to be worked on. But to start with, what do I understand by configuration management? For me, it's mainly about infrastructure as code. So I would like to have some kind of code to define all the desired state of my systems, of my environments. I would like to store this code in version control. So I would like to use Git as a single source of truth about the whole system. And some typical tools in this area are things like Puppet, Chef, or Ansible. Let's look only briefly into history of this space. So the first tool for config management was CF Engine, introduced by in 1993 by Mark Burgess. And then later on tools like Puppet, Chef, and Ansible. So we can see here that it is already almost 3 decades of work put into the area of systems configuration management and probably a lot of wisdom that new generations of tools can build upon. To me, my favorite tool of choice is Puppet. So I will introduce just a few main characteristics that are most important to me. So first, Puppet provides me with a declarative way of describing configuration, describing the desired state of my systems. It gives me methods of resources automation. So let's say I need to add a new user to a system. So there is a Puppet provider for that that will automate this operation for me. Then Puppet comes with a domain-specific language, a DSL. So it's a very simple and constrained language that would be targeted strictly into defining configuration and would be limited in possibilities to make it easy to use, straightforward. It gives me a templating mechanism. So there are those embedded Ruby templates that I can use to basically template my config files. Then I can put the code automating something into modules. So those are meant to package my configuration and then to share it with others. I can use a private module repository or share those modules publicly in PuppetForge, in a public repository with other teams, other organizations. And there is this concept of code data separation. So as I put code into modules and can share and reuse those, I also need some parameters to tell the module what exactly should it do. And Puppet has a hierarchical parameter database for it called Hiera. So that was a very brief introduction to config management. And now let's look into Kubernetes and what it changes. So to me, the most important thing about Kubernetes is that it provides me with a declarative API that lets me declare the desired state of the whole system. And then there is this control plane that constantly makes sure that the actual state of the system always converges to the desired state. How do we declare what we would like to see in the system, this desired state? So we use YAML for that, of course, with Kubernetes. And here is just a very simple example of the simplest possible application on Kubernetes. So I want to have Nginx deployed, to have two replicas of it, and to expose it via network to the world. So as you can see, to achieve the simplest thing, I already need something like 30 lines of YAML. And actually, a real-life scenario would mean I need above 100 lines of YAML to define a simple application following all the best practices, defining all needed parameters. So seems like quite a lot of YAML. Actually, I've tried counting how much YAML is there. So I've taken one of the real environments that the team at Gigaset manages and counted how much YAML do we have. So there are over 50 resource types, the standard core Kubernetes types. Then we've added another 50 custom resource definitions, custom types added to the cluster by us. We are defining some Kubernetes API objects. So in this small cluster, we've defined almost 800 of those, and those are only the user-provided objects. But then inside the system, there are much more. So system generates objects for its internal purposes, and those are above 5,000 in this case. And then how many lines of YAML do we have? So user-provided YAML is over 100,000 in this one case. And all total amount of YAML, so with those internal Kubernetes objects, is already 500,000. And actually, that's only one cluster. And typically, you would have several of those, most probably. So as we can see, we can easily say that working with Kubernetes means managing millions of lines of YAML. So it's really, really a lot to manage. There was this great talk by Bob Walker at Config Management Camp titled, "Are we all YAML engineers now?" So Bob described Kubernetes as basically a system for YAML generating YAML. So yeah, that's just about what you've seen in my example. And of course, the answer to this question is yes, we are YAML engineers now, in fact. Okay, so let's now jump into the declarative application management and let's see what it means. I would base a few points here on the article by Brian Grant, the article titled "Declarative Application Management in Kubernetes." So it is, again, based on this long experience at Google, and Brian is one of the authors of Kubernetes. So, yeah, and he proposes some of the best practices that he would see for managing configuration. The central idea that he proposes is to actually not use just a single tool for managing configuration, but rather a toolset of composable tools. It means you would have a few of those tools that would manipulate configuration data. You would probably pipe them together, so result from one tool would go to another. And he's in favor of using the declarative data model. So the data should be passed from one tool to another. And actually, he's also opposed this idea of treating configuration as code. So he says that we should not build sophisticated software systems to manage configuration, but rather we should treat configuration as data. So to automate something, we can put the automation code into those controllers running in the cluster. So there are those control loops that would ensure that the resource actual state will converge to the desired state, and it should be inside the cluster. And then our config data would go into this Kubernetes API using the native API format. So if we take a step back to what were the characteristics of Puppet and compare what we have in Kubernetes, to me it looks like I wanted to have a declarative way for configuring things. In Kubernetes, I've got the declarative Kubernetes API. Then I needed resources automation. So there are those Kubernetes controllers with control loops, and they basically do that. Then I wanted code data separation. Actually, in Kubernetes, it's just like the data goes to the API, and then code would be in the controllers. And then we've got those three areas of the DSL templates and modules that are not covered by Kubernetes itself. So probably we would still need something here, and it's just what I will talk about in the next part. So now we are ready to jump into the tools landscape itself. To start with, there is this huge spreadsheet prepared again by Brian Grant. So he listed all of the available config management tools for Kubernetes. And what we can see, there are currently above 120 of those. So it's a huge space. Actually, the list is constantly growing as this area is evolving all the time. So just by this picture, we can guess that it is really not a solved problem yet. There is still a lot of work going on in this area. Only to give some idea how can we approach configuration. So the simplest possible approach would be to fork. So I would have original config, I will copy it and make some changes to it. It's for sure not scaling well, but it's the simplest. Then the overlay approach, it means having original config, I would provide just a patch. So some small change that should be done to it to get the resulting config. Another option is parameterization. So it's like I would like to use some kind of template and then parameterize some of the characteristics of my config and providing parameters to get the config I need. Generation is a bit different approach. So I would use some program, some code.